So I'm going to put it in the middle of our circle here, and we will see that as a nice fire that we're all sitting around. That's the good fire that we're all sitting around. My name is Aline, it means the light, and my last name is La Flamme, and it means the flame. And I also carry the name Echdethlogoa, which means many buffalo running. And they both feel like very big names, because my elders told me that my name, given name, is like two suns. And so that has the potential for a lot of light. And also the old people told me, one sun can do a lot of burning. You be careful if you're carrying two of them. And I know that's true about me. And then when I was given the name Many Buffalo Running, I resisted that name for a long time because it's so big. It's the biggest mammal in North America. They're huge. And there's a whole bunch of them. It's not one buffalo. And what are they doing? They're running. So it's kind of, I said, couldn't I just have many buffalo napping? Just one buffalo just loping along quietly? Or couldn't there be a few buffalo munching on some grass? But there's many of them running. So I carry those big names, and it feels like a big responsibility to also be a Métis person and to feel the responsibility to be a bridge. I speak always, as my dear big sister Marilyn knows and as Deborah knows, I don't ever plan what I'm going to say. Because in the culture, it's really important that you can speak spontaneously and eloquently and poetically at the drop of a hat. So my dear old adopted mom would just okay, talk to the people now. Other times she would say, okay, sing. And I'd have to get up and start singing. So usually it's very easy for me to do this. But I have to tell you that I felt trepidation about coming to speak today, and I wondered why that was. I went out by the water last night to sing, and I went again this morning to sing, and I was smudged myself, and I was praying, and I felt some nervousness in my tummy, which I don't usually. I can speak in front of 5,000 people like that, just with or without a mic. And so I had to sit here and say, why would I be nervous today? Why am I nervous? I feel very emotional. I feel that my tears could come just like that. And they started to come when you passed me that light, that candle. And I thought about it, and it's because speaking to you has such importance to me. It's so important to me. What I want to convey to you, it's important to me down to the very fiber of my being. And I have so much to say. I hope you all brought a little sandwich and coffee with you. Because, you know, in our tradition, once you got the floor, nobody can get you off. Unless that young boy turns the mic off, I don't know. And my big sister Marilyn here is going to give me a few signals to keep me partly on schedule, we hope. So I wanted to talk about traditional ways of restoring community. We call it restorative justice, or we call it reconciliation, and we're dealing with the topic right now. And sort of what it means to me, and what I asked was, could we please sit in a circle? Because our teachings, the medicine wheel teachings, tell us that everything that's going on has a physical, a spiritual, a mental, and an emotional component. And they all matter. I don't know what it's like for you to sit in a circle, but when we're sitting this way, we're all looking at one another. And I like it. I like that I can see your faces. I like it very much. And this is the way we sit no matter what we're doing. We sit this way in council. We sit this way when we have a ceremony. We sit this way when we welcome a baby into the community, when we're performing a wedding. Everything we do, we sit in a circle. And what Deborah said, it's true. In this circle, there is no beginning and there is no end. And there is no one more important than anyone else. And that's a crucial teaching. It's a crucial teaching in our ways. We each have a rightful place in the community. We each have a rightful place in the circle. Which is why in our traditional gatherings, you know, I'm often in a leadership position like this. So I'm up front and waving Eagle fans around and talking and drumming and singing and what have you. But who we call forward always at the end of the gathering is the cooks. We call cooks forward and we sing and drum and thank them to remind ourselves it's not the guy that's flapping their gums that is the most important. It's every single one of us and those ones that we don't see. Terry comes and sets up all the chairs. Where would we be without the chairs? Do we need Terry to set up the chairs or Aline to flap her gums? We need the chairs! So, in our medicine wheel way of viewing things, this structure is crucial. Because we want to see one another, we want to know there's no beginning and end, we want to see that we're all equal. In the criminal justice system, and my degree is in criminology, and I worked in that system for a period of time, and the criminal justice system wants to bring deterrence, wants to deter crime. It wants to deter it specifically. So if this wild woman was out here galloping around, I don't know, with her six-shooter or something, we want to stop her in her tracks. But in addition to that, we want to make sure that Naomi doesn't get the idea to go running off on her pony next time. So we want to specifically deter Renee, but we want to also keep track of all the rest of you, including Naomi. So that's the idea. And the way in which we want to deter people in the criminal justice system is through punishment. We mete out punishments to people. We confine them. We put them in jail, or we put them on probation, or we give them a fine or something. It's an odd system. We're so used to it, we don't think about it. But when the old people first got introduced to this system, they just found it kind of astonishing. A good guy to read if you're interested is a guy named Rupert Ross. He was a prosecutor, a non-native guy from Toronto, well-educated, bright and cluey guy, liberal guy, thought he had a pretty open sense of Aboriginal people, willing to go off up north and deal with justice. He got up there, and the old people found him confusing, and he found them confusing. Because if someone was asked if they did something, they'd say, oh yeah, I did that. No, wait a minute now. You're supposed to start by pleading not guilty. You need to have a lawyer represent you. Just don't start talking to the judge saying, oh yeah, I did all this and this. Oh, and furthermore, I also did that. That's not the right way. You get your lawyer to stand up and you plead not guilty and they got to prove the case. And I just want you to contemplate for a minute what an odd thing that is, because these little children that are sitting here earlier, if one of them did something wrong, we would never counsel them to be dishonest about it. We would never counsel them to say, don't admit it, make them prove it. We wouldn't do that, right? We would say, little dear one, you should tell the truth, you should speak up, and you should take responsibility. Now, somehow, from raising the little children to when we become adults, we go numb or we go blind or we lose track of that. So this odd system says, plead not guilty, don't admit what you've done, don't take responsibility, make somebody prove it. And then we say someone is guilty or not guilty based on a set of criteria that doesn't have really often anything to do with the truth. Right? It's the laws. If it's proven according to these rules, he's guilty. He may be innocent, but the rules have worked in this way. If he's dead guilty, but somebody can use these rules in a certain way, he's deemed innocent to all of creation. He's stamped innocent on his forehead. This is not, and then what happens? If he's guilty, he's given a sentence, he's given a punishment, he's given a consequence, and off he goes. Generally, there is no contact between the person that's been harmed and the person that's done the harm. There's no general consideration, usually, for all the intervening people, the family of the one that's committed the offense, or the family of the one that's been offended, or just the witnesses. So I just say that a little bit to give you a bit of a comparison. In our traditional way, we're seeking the truth, not some truth according to a set of rules. We're seeking what actually happened. We want to know. We want to know. We sit in a circle. In that circle is the person that's been offended. Let's say you were offended. Your dear ones are all sitting with you because we want you to be supported. And maybe I'm the one that committed the offense. What happens to me? I'm not thrown in jail and I'm not isolated. I'm invited also into the circle, and I'm to bring my dear ones as well and bring my support, because I'm still seen as a human being. We don't have any concepts of original sin or sinners or all like that. So we're all seen as good people. The goal in our traditional circles, our goal is to understand. Our goal is to understand. What we want to do is we want to understand what happened for me that caused me, brought me to doing this. We want to understand how you were affected. For sure, we want me listening to every word you have to say. And also what your relatives have to say and how they felt and how that was. And my own relatives and how they felt and how that was. And then other community members. I think it said in the paper about the river running free, that or running clear. That's what we're looking for. When we come to the place where I have offended you, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on with me that brings me to that place. Otherwise, I would be conducting myself in a good way, wouldn't I? So there's something in this river of my life that's it's gone dry, or it's we got a log jam. When we got a log jam, we got to take those logs out one by one. Then when we take the logs out, what happens? There's a bunch of mud and rocks and gravel, and we're not done then. Sometimes teenagers think they're done when they pull a few logs out and go crazy with their parents. They, oh, thank God I got through that. No, we're not done then. We're only started. We're not done until the river runs clean and clear again. That's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for the water to become clear and clean and good. So we might take quite a bit of time here with us. And I wanted to give you an example, a story, because I'm the founder of the Aboriginal Front Door Society down at Main and Hastings. And we set our principles and our goals. It was a group of street people that brought me tobacco. I never go unless I'm invited. When we push our way into someone's world and decide to fix them, we're feeding ourselves. They didn't invite us. What are we doing? So I was invited by a group of street people. They knew my other work, to come and help. We want to set up some way of healing ourselves. We're addicted, we're poor, we're angry, we have a lot of problems. How can we do that? So we set up the Aboriginal Front Door Society. They called it the front door because they said all our lives we have to go in the back door. This is our place, we're calling it the front door. And us, we're walking in the front door. It was big. I wanted to call it something more fancy, but it's important. This is our front door. And we based our front door on one simple teaching, which is our responsibility, each one of us, every day, is to walk with love in our hearts for all things in creation, including ourselves, to walk with love, to walk with honor. This is a group of street people, and most people would not assume that that was important to them. But this teaching they took on, we will walk with love. We will walk with honor in all that we do. That means we're honest, We're honorable. We'll walk with respect. Respect is enormous in Aboriginal community. Through acts of cultural genocide, and I would say other kind of genocide, and all kinds of misery that has happened and rained down on us, we have lost a lot of that tradition. But respect is crucial. You don't step over somebody's things. You don't touch someone's things. That's why you don't interrupt when somebody's talking. Respect works well for long-winded people. They can get away with talking for a long time. And our fourth teaching is compassion. So our job is to walk with love, honor, respect, and compassion. For who? For all things in creation, including our own dear selves. When I was given that teaching many years ago, I thought, yeah, okay, that elder gave me that teaching. He said, work with that for a while, and let me know when you got that handled. I know, but I didn't. I was like, I want more teachings than that. I don't want just one teaching. I want my teachings. Anyways, I'm still working on that teaching. I think that elder knew I'd never be back to say I'm done with it. So that's what we set up at the front door. When we walk in the door, that's the way we conduct ourselves. We made it into a great big huge banner. We had it up there. We said, inside this place is going to be just like inside a traditional community. We don't swear. We don't curse. We're honest. We're respectful. We're helpful. We're clean and sober. We conduct ourselves in a good way. We have the buffalo hides out there. We have medicines in there. And when you come in, just like in the longhouse, if you go to a longhouse, you'll often see a hook or a big nail outside. Before you walk in, you hang up your foolishness out there. Hang it up. You can pick it up there, tell you, on the way out if you still want it. But hang up your nonsense. Hang up your anger, your resentment, your ego, whatever. Hang that stuff out there. So we did that at the front door. Now, not everybody was in a state of extreme perfection, as you can imagine. So here's how our restorative justice played out. I'll give you a little story about Tony. So Tony's a big, tall Cree guy. He's a great singer, a very good singer. And he's a very severe drug addict. 3 generations of residential school, lots of sexual abuse, lots of personal violence. He's been in a hellish place. But he knows how to sing, and he does know some of those traditional ways, but he's a drug addict as well. And then we got Louise. She is a Cree woman, long-term residential school survivor. She's about 20 years older than Tony. And got a little bit of a limp. And she has a lot of bitterness. You know, she's been in residential school. She went through a lot. She comes from a strong family. She's got some nurturing ways, but she's also got a little edge. Of course, she lives on the street. She's poverty stricken. Got a big problem with alcohol. We have a big gathering one time, and the city of Vancouver gave everybody an honorarium. They get, you know, people are used to either nothing or maybe a loony or a toonie. This was a real fancy gathering. Everybody got $10. Woo! They could hardly keep themselves sitting in their chairs till the meeting was over. So there goes Louise down the street, with her $10 flapping around. And Tony is kind of itching for some drugs, and he's just kind of in a mood. And she's flapping her $10. That's not a wise thing to do on the street, but it doesn't excuse bad behavior. Tony comes along, he grabs that $10, and he takes off. Louise is mad as a wet hen. Everybody's upset. And what happens to Tony after he blows the $20? Tony ends up ashamed because he's basically a good person. He's basically a good human being. He ends up ashamed. He doesn't feel ready to walk back into the front door, so he's now stuck outside his community. But he knows our ways, and he knows we have prayers, we have medicine, and in our ways, you are always welcome. You are always welcome. No matter who you are, what you've done, you are always welcome. You have to be really, 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 really bad for a long time before banishment comes. And prior to that, when you come in and you take responsibility, you will be welcome back. He knows this. So it took him a little bit of time. And sure enough, we're in our circle. How am I doing? Am I at 20 minutes already? Okay, I better speed up. See our hand signals. So here's what happened. Tony comes in the room. We're all in a circle, just like this. Louise is in the circle. What Tony knows is we are not going to yell at him. We are not going to reject him. We invite him into the circle. He comes forward. We know he's part of our teaching is compassion. So I step forward and pick up the smudge for him. Now that brings his tears. We could easily have brought his anger, but that brings his tears. He takes the smudge. We welcome him. We give him that. But we also expect him to be responsible. He steps onto the buffalo hide, and we say, when you're ready, dear one, you go ahead and speak. And we gave him the talking stick. He can take as long as he wants, doesn't matter, but he knows what to do. And he stood there, tears streaming, and I apologized to the elders, I apologized to my community, and I apologized to the Creator. Looks over at Louise. I apologize to you. And he has a good cry. People come up and stand beside him, put their hands at his back and help him as he speaks. Then we ask him, speak, my boy. Tell us how did this all unfold for you? So he tells us everything. He wanted the money. He wanted the drugs. We go a little farther. What else is going on? Well, he was a little bit annoyed with Louise. Why? Well, she got a little snappy edge to her, the way she speaks sometimes. She'd been a little sarcastic toward him a few times. That gave him enough resentment to justify doing something mean to her. It's not real, it's not right, but he explains himself. Then it's time for Louise to speak. And Louise, now she has her cry and has her good words. She expresses some anger to him, how frightened it made her, how she didn't feel safe on the street anymore. The effect on her, some of the other grannies that were there spoke how it affected them. Tony apologized to whoever had. Other people spoke. Some people said, yes, Louise, we have noticed this. Sometimes it seemed like you got a little pain in there that comes out through your words. So we have all of this discussion. In the non-native world, we talk about tears as we broke down. Not broken when we got tears. We're healthy for crying out loud. What's broken? I'm not broken. We fell apart. Humpty Dumpty fell apart. Us, we're not able to do that. I can't fall apart, right? I'm together. My skin's holding all everything in. We're not broken and we're not apart. When we let our tears flow, we are having a healthy, beautiful experience of washing pain out of our heart. So after everybody gets to talk, everybody gets to encourage, finally these two are talking to them. And what we came to as a group of elders, we said, okay, now my boy, first of all, you're a good drummer. You're a good singer. We want you to use the drum and start to sing. And we give you that responsibility to sing in the opening of our ceremonies. We want you to sing now. And secondly, you're a big, strong young man out there on the streets. People are a little bit respectful of your strength. And Auntie Louise over here, she needs protection. And we put you in charge now. This is your auntie. You be a nephew to her. You must protect this woman from now on, from anybody doing that same foolishness to you or to her. And we talked to Louise. Here's this young man. He's from Manitoba. He has no family here. He's got nobody to make him some bannock or some soup or do his collar up or make him more mitts. You need to be auntie to him now. You need to speak softly and kindly and gently to him. You take care of him. Give him the love and kindness and tenderness that he needs. Are you willing to accept this? Yes. Louise gets up. Tony goes into her arms. There they are. Others come and gather around. And what has happened? We are restored. We are restored. We are all restored. We are lifted up. We gave Tony the drum, and Tony sang the honor song. He feels good about himself. Louise feels good about him. They have a tender relationship. We are all reminded of the goodness that we carry and the goodness that we could share with one another. All of us are lifted up and feel good. And that is really how our restorative justice works. We say we got a bad wolf in us and we got a good wolf in us. All of us. Nobody's walking around perfect. We'd be gone off to the spirit world. We got a bad wolf and we got a good wolf. What should we do? Feed the good wolf. Don't worry too much about the bad wolf. Just don't give him a lot of pork chops. Don't give him anything. Feed the good wolf. And that's what we try to do in our ways. And so I talked too long. I wanted to give you a chance to talk, but I didn't. Is there time to sing a song?
Let's close with the song. Okay.
So this is the song that Tony sang. And I sing this for all the Tonys, or the Tony that we are and the Louise that we are, and for us to find ways to restore our relationships, reconcile with one another in a good way. This is an honor song, and it's to honor the goodness in all of us. Be reconciled in a good way. Asicho.